beings that we kind of like to control things. Anybody in this room, do you like to control things? Oh, almost everybody. You know, we think that we need to manipulate and control things and people and situations in our lives so that they work out according to our preferences and according to the way that we want things to be, the things that we are attached to. So what happens then is we control and manipulate things that they turn out like we want them to turn out, so ultimately we can be at peace. Yes? But what happens is when we control and manipulate things is we really, especially things that we don't have really have control over, we just end up wearing ourselves out. We end up frustrated. We end up having a lot of stress in our bodies, tight jaws and tight neck muscles and stomach problems and all sorts of things when what we're trying to control, we can't control, or when it's out of our control, when it's not happening the way that we want it to work out. That happens when things aren't working out according to our plan the way we think they should. But on a soul level, what we would really prefer is just to let go and to relax and to trust life. On a soul level, we'd really just to like to relax into that flow of life, knowing that we are supported, knowing that we are carried, knowing that we are buoyed, knowing that we are cared for as we move throughout our lives. We'd rather live in grace. You know, we don't talk much about grace in this philosophy. We talk a lot about using the law in order to direct the things in our life. But I'm going to talk about grace today, and it still is in alignment with what we teach, because it's as we trust and know that we're actually activating the law, but getting our ego out of the way and opening ourselves to grace. And so the title of my talk today is Living in Grace. And so I'm talking about what grace means and why we don't live in grace and what we can do to live in grace to a greater degree than what we do. And so Ernest Holmes, the founder of this philosophy, whom you just saw and heard, this is how he defines grace in part. He says, grace is the givingness of spirit to its creation. Grace is, but we need recognize it. It is the logical result of the correct acceptance of life and our correct relationship with spirit. So grace is the result of knowing that life is filled with grace, knowing that grace is always available and right where we are, and knowing that we are one with the good of the universe. That's what he's saying about a correct relationship with life and of knowing the truth about our relationship with the divine. And so we are doing foundations class right now, and one of the things that we did in class this week was talk about grace, and we worked at defining grace. What does it mean to us? And so we came up with some ideas, and some of them are that grace is a vibration. It's a feeling that we kind of feel in our bodies and feel kind of surrounding us. Grace feels warm, and it feels safe. Grace has a feeling of ease in it, and it has a sense of peacefulness. Grace is about being in the flow of good. It's about being in the flow of blessedness. Grace is the activity of the divine, the activity of good itself. And so really, though, grace happens when we let go. It happens when we relax. It happens when we let go of the struggle, when we let go of fighting against what is and what is happening in our lives. Grace happens when we let go of fear that things are not going to work out the way that we want them to work out. When we let go of our controlling, that's when we experience grace. Because when we are controlling, it's kind of like we're dog paddling through life, and you're kicking your feet really hard, and your hands are flailing about, and you're fighting against the water, when what we really want is just to get to the side of the pool where we can relax, and we know that we're safe, and we know that all is well. So really then, what is being called for is for us to lean back and float. What's being called for is us to allow the water to support us. You might notice you cannot float as long as you're kicking and flailing around. You cannot float as long as you're struggling against the water. You must lean back and open your arms and open your chest and lean your head back and relax in order to float. It's the same thing with grace. It's only in our letting go and relaxing that we can float. It's only in our letting go and relaxing and trusting that we can experience grace. Ramakrishna, who is a Hindu religious teacher, says, "The winds of God's grace are always blowing. It is for us to raise our sails." Grace is already. It is already present. It is already the activity of the divine in our life, but we must raise our sails in order to experience that grace. And so then we raise our sails in our willingness to trust. We raise our sails trusting in life, trusting that life is for us. We raise our sails trusting and knowing that the divine is on our side, that the nature of that infinite one is to unfold itself in and through our lives as good, that is the nature of that infinite one, goodness itself. We raise our sails and step into grace when we know that that intelligence, that infinite intelligence of the universe, fills our lives, and that it responds to our belief and to our faith and to our acceptance of its activity in our lives. That's how we step into grace. That's how we open ourselves to the grace that is always present. And so in class this week, one of the things that we did was a trust walk. And what that means is that you pair people up in twos, and one of them wears a blindfold, while the other person leads them through my neighborhood, because it's being taught at my house, up and down the street and up through the grass and down sidewalks and all sorts of things with a blindfold on. And so what is required in order to do that trust walk then is for the person who's blindfolded to let go of control. What's required is for them to trust and to lean into the wisdom of their partner, to lean into the intelligence of their partner, to trust and let go and lean into the love and the care of their partner that they're walking down the street with. What a great metaphor for living in grace. That's what we have to do. Trust and lean into the love and the care and the wisdom and the intelligence of the divine that holds us all the time. And so as the students were walking up and down the street, and Barbara Conant, one of our practitioners, and I were standing outside and watching and waiting for them, she says to me, "Isn't it really interesting that it's easier for us to trust our partner that we're walking with blindfolded than it is for us to trust God with our lives?" Boy, isn't that the truth so much of the time? And I really think that the reason that is because of this leftover childhood idea that we have about what God is. I think it's hard for us to let go and trust God because we have this old idea back here about God is this man in the sky who is separate and apart from us, who has an agenda that may be different from ours, that keeps score about when we're good and when we're bad, that God who judges us and who gives to some and withholds from others. But the truth is, we need to update that software, because in reality, what we are surrendering to, we are surrendering to the good. That's what we're letting go into. We're letting go into the good. We're surrendering to our highest self that is one with the infinite. We're surrendering to the intelligence and the order of the universe, that same intelligence and order that holds the planets in their orbits, That intelligence that permeates everything and that permeates our life and permeates our body and permeates our thinking and will guide us and direct us and act as intuition within us. That same intelligence that knew how to and is able to take a sperm and an egg and make it into this amazing person that you are here, this amazing body that you have, that's the intelligence we're letting go into. That's the intelligence we're leaning into so that we can experience grace. That same intelligence that turns the food you ate this morning into bone and tissue. That intelligence that clots your blood so when you cut your finger, you don't bleed to death. That is an amazing, infinite intelligence that permeates our life. And so I have a story that I would like to share with you about grace and about leaning into that, that is from the book The Eye of the Storm by Gary Simmons. He says, several years ago, I presented a peace worker training intensive to a group of ministers and lay leaders near Savannah, Georgia. It was my practice to begin our four-day schedule with an eight-hour presentation called The Eye of the Storm. That portion of the training was the essence of what has become this book. Soon after things got started, we received word that Hurricane Floyd was due to make landfall the next day. An evacuation order was issued, causing the cancellation of the rest of our training. Jokingly, the group blamed Floyd's presence on me. They tried to make the connection between my workshop title and the fact that the eye of the storm was on its way. Affirming divine order, I proceeded to rebook my travel arrangements so I could depart with an appropriate margin of safety the following afternoon. My hosts graciously rushed me to the airport early the next day as they proceeded inland in compliance with the evacuation order. As I walked to the ticket counter, I noticed hundreds of anxious travelers in long lines waiting to check in. Then came the announcement, which all frequent flyers like myself dread. An announcement which under normal circumstances would mean suffering, inconveniences, delays, misconnections, and another bad meal in an airport restaurant. But this announcement was different. Instead of irritation, it struck terror. All flights out of Savannah have been canceled. Please seek alternate transportation. Suddenly, throngs mobbed the car rental counters, frantically seeking escape from the impending disaster. Because I could be counted among the frantic, I found myself noticing how silly I must seem to God. Here, I had just spent a day teaching my colleagues the simple principles of being present to life, without conditions, without needing things to be different. And now I failed to walk my talk. Where was my non-resistance? Where was my willingness to be the eye of the storm? In that moment of awakening, I suddenly became calm and serene. I walked back upstairs and resolved to experience the eye of Floyd if that were God's plan for me. I focused my attention on my center and I affirmed, I am calm. I am a calm, clear center of peace, radiating peace in every way. Moments later, an announcement came. Passenger Simmons, please report to gate 12 for immediate departure. It turned out I got the last seat on the only plane leaving for Atlanta. But to experience grace like that, we have to let go of controlling. We have to let go of the problem. We have to let go of seeing it as a problem in our life. We have to let go into the good of the universe. Grace becomes active in our lives when we activate it. When we activate it. The creative intelligence of this universe is not present in the problem. The creative intelligence of the universe is not present in your problems. The creative intelligence of the universe is not present in the disharmony of your relationships. The creative intelligence of the universe is not present in your dis-ease. in your ailments. The intelligence of the universe, the creativity of the universe, isn't present in your lack. Lack of anything in your life. Lack in your bank account. Lack of friends. Lack of ideas. Lack of anything. It's not present in the lack. It's not present in the limitations that you perceive. That creative intelligence isn't present in your past when you keep holding on to the past. It isn't present in the problem that you refuse to let go of that happened way back then. That creative intelligence isn't present in the story you keep telling yourself about how you cannot forgive that person because of whatever it was that they did. The creative intelligence of the universe, the order that holds the planets in their orbits that we were talking about, that is not present in the problem. It's present in the solution. And while we're holding on to the problem, we aren't making room for it. And so grace happens then when we let go of the problem, when we trust life, when we trust in the good, when we let go of our fear, when we lean into goodness, and when we lean into spirit. That's how grace can show up. So as we let go of fear and as we trust in life, we actually step into the grace that's already present, the grace that's already available, that omnipotence of good, everywhere present good. Gary Simmons, the author of that book, says non-resistance is the eye of the storm. The non-resistance is where we find the peace. The non-resistance is where we find the ease. The non-resistance is where creative solutions can present themselves to us that we never would have thought of. That's where miraculous solutions all of a sudden appear without our doing, without our manipulating, without our controlling. That is where peace is. That is where we experience ease. And so I have a question for you. What is it that you must let go of in order to experience grace? Close your eyes and ask yourself that. What must I let go of in order to step into grace? Is it your fear? Is it your lack of trust? Is it just habit? And to ask yourself, what must I embrace in order to step into grace? What must I embrace in order to step into grace? Is it the idea that life is for me? Is it an attitude that it's safe to trust? What must you embrace? And I invite you to open your eyes. And so my invitation to you this week is to trust life. Life. It's the life and activity of that infinite love intelligence of the universe. Know that the universe is on your side. Know that life is for you. Life is for your thriving. Life is for your fulfillment. Life is for you having the greatest experience of yourself. Life is for good. Life is for your good. That's what it's here for. So surrender into the good, and then you'll be living in grace. And so blessings to all of you as you walk this path and open yourself to that presence of grace. Blessings to you. And so I invite you to join me in a spiritual mind treatment, which is our form of affirmative prayer. And so we just take our attention right now from this material world and instead turn our attention to that invisible realm of the infinite, that one infinite presence and power of good itself, recognizing that this is the cause of everything in this universe, that it is the cause of all that we see and all that we do not see, that from all things come from this one, out of this intelligence and this love and this creativity and this good and this joy and this blessedness that we call grace. This is the activity of that one in this universe. And I recognize and know that grace is everywhere present. It is the thing that makes the trees grow and the flowers bloom. It is the thing that connects a mother to her child. It is the thing that leads us and guides us in making perfect decisions for ourselves. It is the thing that expresses as love and connection that we feel with others on this planet. It is that blessedness of the divine unfolding itself all around us. And so today we place our attention and our faith and our acceptance on that truth, knowing that as we do so, we activate it. We activate it and allow it to flow into our lives in a way that is prospering, in a way that lifts us and buoys us and fills us and creates the most fulfilling and exciting and wonderful life that we could ever imagine. And so I just recognize and know that we walk in this presence at every single moment of our lives. And that it is indeed its good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And this kingdom is here, and it is now, and we accept it as our divine birthright. For we are a part of this one. It is within us and around us. And so I say thank you, God, for this grace and for this overflowing good that we experience in our lives. And so I also speak this word now about every single world leader, about every politician, every policymaker, every decision maker right now, knowing that they indeed are being led and guided by this intelligence. They're being guided and led by this heart of God and the truth of the oneness of everyone and everything of all of humanity. And so that presence of that one is unfolding itself through them as perfect decisions that serve all, that serve this whole of humanity. And it is with a grateful heart that I say, thank you, God. And so I release this prayer into that infinite law of correspondence, that law of perfect activity, knowing that this is simply the truth and we rest in it and relax in it and allow it to unfold. And I say, thank you, God, and so it is. Amen.